to you today. My scripture reading is in Genesis 2, starting at the 18th verse. And the Lord God said, It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him. Let me stop right there and remind that today I'm going to be using the King James translation, so hopefully David can work that for us. Again, verse 18, and the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all the cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam. And he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh there instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh, and she shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they both were naked, the man and the wife, and were not ashamed. Bow with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask your blessings on this message, this word that we bring. Let it be the blessing that you would have to those that would hear it. And Heavenly Father, bless the ones that hear it. And Lord, let them know that you are their helper. In Yeshua's name we ask, and amen. Let's look at that verse 8. Verse 18 is what I got. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him. And that descriptive word, you know, has, I guess, always intrigued me, you know, from the first time that I read it, which was naturally from the King James Version that I hold in my hand today. I know other translations use the word helper, that God will, the man was alone, and it was not good that he be alone. There was not found a helper or a helpmeet for him. So he made woman. And it's very interesting to examine the descriptive word used in Genesis 1, 26 and 27. And let's look at those again. Genesis 1, 26 and 27. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. What do you think our means? What's that referring to? Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth among the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female, created he them. Okay, let's go now and see what we find in Genesis 2 and verse 7. And then we're going to go 7, 21, 22, 23. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. 21. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. And he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man." Does that at all make you think about the creation of man and woman? Do you see that the description words there says that God created man out of the dust of the earth, and that woman was made from one of man's ribs? An operation. God, after it was over, closed the flesh back up from Adam. This first woman is referred to as Eve. Note that due to the disobedience of his first created humans, note that what justice that God dealt to the ones involved. Examine the justice of God specifically for the woman in Genesis 3 and 16. And let's see what that says. Genesis 3, 16. After the failure or disobedience of Adam and Eve, this is what God dealt in his justice to the woman. "Unto the woman," he said, "I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow there shall bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee." Do you think that would fly in modern times? Do you have any idea if there's very many ones that would want to hold on to the justice that God decided ought to be done? And he did it. What about the justice to Adam in verses 3, 17 through 19? Let's see what God did for his failure in this particular thing. "And to Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shall thou eat of it all the days of thy life." So go on down. "Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth unto thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and to dust thou shalt return. We're speaking of the first humans that God created and how they were created. You know, at this point, we know enough about this to say to you, and of course I know you, some of you at least realize this, this is where we can say the first blame game happened. Adam blamed the woman when God said, how do you know you were naked? Why did you hide from me? Why didn't you answer me when I called you from the garden? And Adam, God said, what have you done? Have you disobeyed me in that I told you not to eat of a certain tree in the garden? Why did you do this? And Adam said, because of the woman that you gave me, this is why I did it. Then the woman blamed the serpent. Then the serpent received his justice for his lie to Eve, that when you read those scriptures, you will realize that the justice from God to the serpent was for his lie, that God would not punish for disobedience. Isn't that interesting? How many people today, and even some of mainstream Christianity, would believe that the almighty, loving, compassionate Father God would not do such a thing as to deal out punishment for disobedience? That seems to be promoted, that God is too loving to deal punishment for disobedience. But yet, you see that he did. Also note the scriptures that we have read, that the woman was taken, or taken from, or taken out of the man. There's three verses that repeat this. Where did the woman come from? The word says she was taken out of the man. Let's see what verses, chapter 2, verse 21, 22, and 23 again. And this is to try to get you to think and wonder about the descriptive words that was used and why. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. And he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. To me, that's a little interesting, at the very least, a little intriguing. Something to think about. Adam named his wife Eve in Genesis 3 and 20 because she was the mother of all living. Now let's get back to the title of my message is The Help Meet. Eve helped Adam to meet God's blessing that he gave to the first man and woman. Let's look at Genesis 1 and 28 and think of other scriptures that I have read in regard to this verse, Genesis 1, 28. I think this is the first occurrence in the Word of God concerning man and woman. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Is anything at all there intrigue you or is interesting? Let's look at the very first part of that again. And God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful. Okay? Notice that the two that God made became one in the sight of God. Eve helped Adam to meet all the circumstances that life brought to him. And so did Adam for Eve. They enjoyed their life together. They shared their joys together. They shared their disappointments together. They shared their work together. They shared their play together. They shared in their blessings from God together. And were fruitful, leading to God's plan for mankind. Now, I was trying to look at the verse along about Genesis 1 and 28, where it said says that God made man and woman. The first occurrence that he says that. There's the one. It's 1:27. I evidently wrote down the wrong verse. But Genesis 1:27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Notice that in regard to what we've read and what I explained earlier. That's really the first referral to his creation of man and woman. But yet I've read to you the others that speak of man being made from the dust of the earth and of the woman being taken from formed and taken of the rib of Adam. And what would you think of those particular verses? God's plan for all of his created beings was to serve his purpose and his eternal plan. And you know what? All that can encompass, it can encompass everything. But from Adam, we know that this is the line that leads to God's master plan for mankind. From Adam to Seth to Noah to Shem to Arphaxad to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, King David, to Yeshua, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the only begotten Son. The helpmeet of God's Word, the helper for Adam. God's creation, woman, to be a help to man, and man to be a help to woman. These verses letting you know things haven't changed. The Satan of Adam and Eve is still the Satan today. The same thing that he did in regarding to them failing, he's going to do to you. And the same thing that God did then, he's going to do today. And if you fail and you are disobedient, as was Adam and Eve, you are going to receive a just punishment for the failure. It's going to happen. And it does, and it always has, and it always will. So don't believe ones today that would tell you that God is only a God of love and compassion. God has his commands for us. He has things that he wants his family and his children to shape up to. And if there's any way that Satan can tell a lie, deceive, distort, destroy your life, destroy what God has for you, if there's any way that Satan can do that, just like he did that at the first, he's going to do it today. He has not changed. But God has not changed. God has his eternal plan for mankind and his commands in the way that we are to live and what we are to do or not do. He expects obedience. But we know what can happen and did happen and will happen now and beyond us when we have and commit disobedience. So I say to you today to be a family member of God and know that God is compassionate and love and has mercy, but he also expects the members of his family to obey him. If you would, stand with me and pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this message. We ask you to let it be of help and interest to the ones that hear it. And Heavenly Father, help all that we hear and all that we see in our service to God. Let it be to God's praise and glory, and let it be to keep us on the right track, leading to that day that we are found worthy to enter the kingdom of God. And in all these things, through Yeshua's name we ask, and amen. Let's read the blessing of God to us. Read together. Blessed, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace.